Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. I'm laughing because if you're watching video, Sean Barber is currently in the process on video of eating some gummies.
What gummies?
They are Fruit Thief Strawberry Real Fruit Whips. They're like a long strings, long rope of gummy. Now, these do not have any...
none of that stuff.
You didn't get these in Missouri, did you? Or no?
You know what? I got those from the McGinnis Group at my office.
Oh,
a couple of my coworkers, they always provide like really good healthy snacks.
But you went out of your way to just awkwardly, like slowly eat the gummy in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Drew was worried about putting the camera on. I was like, no, go ahead.
I was looking. I was like, what is Barbara doing right now?
No, that's not number one on what's trending, but that was interesting. What's number one on what's trending is the injury situation for the Chiefs. We'll find out who practices today, but yesterday, 9 players were on the injury report. The two biggest, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tershawn Wharton, did not practice. The rest were limited. Some of these, nobody's worried about. Kareem Hunt's been limited in practice. He's just beat up, right? He's fine. Limited in quad, Mecole Hardman, shoulder. Even Mahomes has to be on there, even though he's a full participant because of the ankle. Same with Nadi, Dana, and Nazi Johnson. That was the good news, is that you had Mike Dana back, Nazi Johnson back.
Like
the one today to watch will be if Juju Smith-Schuster or Turk Wharton are limited or they practice. If Juju doesn't practice today, then I think it's pretty safe to say he will not be playing on Sunday. That's first up on what's trending. Next up is Thursday Night Football, Barber. We just got done talking about that. Bengals on the road, taking on the Ravens, a crucial game for that divisional race. And I think just to keep Cincinnati's season alive, where they currently sit, so they could get to 500 with a win tonight. They're 5.5, 6-point underdogs. Also, Keaton Mitchell, the young running back last year who had some flashes, who had an unfortunate injury, his return. He makes his return. He'll be available for Baltimore tonight. Maybe a change of pace back to work in there with Justice Hill and Derrick Henry. We'll see. Keaton Mitchell, doesn't he have his was it his dad? There's some. You probably know more.
At the draft or the combine, there was something that I remember doing some features with that young man one on one. I think actually it's his dad or something. I was able to talk
with
him.
Dad playing the league, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We was at the NFL. They asked the alumni to come up and we can watch the draft from a suite and everything. And I got to meet his dad and he was telling me about his son and stuff. So that was one of the guys I was actually hoping that the Chiefs were going to get late in the draft. Phenomenal guy, explosive running back. The times he's gotten to the games, he's been so effective and so impactful. And again, injury. Falls to the injury bug, which sometimes you got to be lucky rather than skilled. But this young man has a bright future in the NFL if he can just stay healthy.
Yeah, his dad, Anthony Mitchell, played for the Baltimore Ravens as well. Next up on what's trending, some other injuries in the NFL. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence dealing with a left shoulder injury. According to Ian Rappaport, he is continuing to get treatment and weigh options for the future. Source telling NFL Network, Lawrence, unlikely to play Sunday against the Vikings. We know it's been a disastrous season for Doug Peterson and the Jags, and now maybe they're going to be without the quarterback. That means it would be, what's his name, starting for the Jags, the former New England, or the former New England quarterback.
Mac Jones.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think it is. It's probably Mac Jones, actually.
It wouldn't even matter.
No, it wouldn't.
If you can't win with Lawrence, I'm guaranteed the guy behind you can't win it. And actually, I mean, we talk about business decisions. I think there's around the league some organizations and some coaching staffs, maybe even some general managers, that at a certain chance or a certain point of the season, you probably do have to start turning the page to the future and say, if I have a star, do I allow my star to get beat up at the back of the season for the second half of the
season?
It's
only November, though.
Knowing that there's no chance of us making the playoffs and much less going anywhere in the playoffs? Or is it smarter to start to, like, dial back the reps of your guys that are part of the 2025-26 plan? If I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I mean, I'm not. My focus is not on winning ball games in 2024 anymore. Maybe benching Lawrence and just putting him on the shelf into next season, having him come in next season healthy, is the best long-term recipe.
Yeah, I think Doug Peterson, unfortunately, it will be done after this season. I think you'll have a new regime going in there in Jacksonville at the end of the year. Last one on What's Trending, if you want to feel old today, Sean Barber. This includes me on this one, because Cole Leinart, yes, the son of Matt Leinart, class of 2026, just committed to SMU. We all know Matt Leinart won the Heisman in 2004, took USC to a couple of titles back in their golden era there with Reggie Bush and everything. But the fact that Matt Leinart's son is committing to SMU, yeah, even for people in their 30s, you're starting to feel old about that one.
I mean, I'm about to turn 50 in January, and I'm thinking to myself, did I play against Matt Leinart? Like, was he the quarterback for the Cardinals maybe in
when was your last year?
07.
I mean, could have crossed over. I just said, what did I say, 04 was Leinart. So Leinart was in the league in 05, 06, 07. I don't know if you guys played, but you would have been in the league for a couple years. Like, your tail.
Did he start off with the Cardinals? Is that what
he did?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Did you sack Matt Leinart? I'm not even trying to insult you, how many sacks you had, but do you remember players you did or did not sack?
I mean, I know Rich Gannon, because when it's Raider week, I pull up this picture of me sacking Rich Gannon all the time during Raider week. Other than that one, I don't know if I actually got Tom Brady or got Peyton Manning or anything.
That'd be really cool.
Drew Brees.
That'd be cool if you did.
I can tell you who I did. Doug Flutie.
Never?
You talk about like chasing a pig around the stall. Like a little jitterbug, man. Just like couldn't get him. I was so close so many times with him. And I think that was close of his career at the end when he was with the Chargers, right? Just couldn't
do it.
No,
huh?
Man, just couldn't get him.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk some fantasy football. Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. It is Cody and Gold here in the noon hour. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Cody out today, hopefully back tomorrow. Sean Barber filling in here in the noon hour with me. And it's time to talk with Danon Hughes, our regular visit. I didn't tell Barber Danon was on the show. I was worried that Sean Barber was going to bail. If I said that Danon was going to call into the show. No, Danon joins us every Thursday around this time.
It's time for me to go to lunch.
He's presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I'll just let you guys talk for a second. I feel like, what's going on, Dane and Sean Barber?
Hold on.
Lord.
Now I got to speak with Steven Spector and Roxanne over there about the security. The security has been lapsed. It must be bad. All the doors, like y'all let somebody in there without passing through the proper security, especially a defensive guy, a linebacker.
Bro,
come on, we gotta be better.
I've been dropping nuggets, dog. I'm dropping wisdom, you know, intelligence. That's the key to success, right? I've been dropping wisdom, nuggets of influence and stuff on here.
You've been dropping poop nuggets.
There you go. Come on, man. Is he on here to talk about the wide receivers or what? I mean, he only knows a certain amount.
He's out here to trash talk a little bit.
No, let's keep him in his lane. Hey, Dana, let's talk about the Chiefs wide receiver. Obviously, D-Hop got into the building. He's done some really impactful things. How do you see this wide receiver group moving forward, you know, in the season? Obviously, with Juju getting healthy, obviously, Mecole got a little banged up, so him coming back. What would be your dream scenario as we go on these final, 9 weeks of the season as far as specifically the wide receiver room?
I'm not done with messing with you.
We got listeners that they write notes and they taking, you know what I'm saying? They actually waiting for us to come up with some good stuff to talk about, bro. So, like, can you answer the question about wide receivers or not? I thought that was low-hanging fruit. I thought that was an easy question. I'm trying to give you the...
Everybody's got to. I guess I'll answer the questions because everybody's got to do charity.
Oh,
this is my charitable endeavor for the day. So to answer the great question presented, I think we're definitely in a good position at the wide receiver position. Guys are making impact plays, not just DeAndre Hopkins, but what you're getting from Justin on the outside, what you're getting from Mecole Hardman, as you mentioned, like guys recognizing their roles, fitting in, getting in where they fit in, and being an impact. And I think the biggest thing that jumps out to me about the wide receivers is the confidence that they've garnered in any situation from Patrick Mahomes. You mentioned some great quarterbacks that you played against, guys that you sacked, guys that you didn't. We know for a fact, based on their own personal interviews, that they would go games without throwing the guys because they ran bad routes or because they weren't on the same page. And although that could speak to their greatness, it does definitely speak to the opposite of what makes Patrick Mahomes great. The fact that he doesn't have that mindset. The fact that he has the ability to go from play to play to the next play to the next play and still look to make plays down the field regardless of what mistakes you make at a wide receiver position, regardless of what age or how tenured you are or what have you. Think about Xavier Worthy. That, to me, that was a perfect throw in a position where only he can make the play and he has to do a better job on the sideline of knowing exactly where he is on the sideline and not stepping out of bounds. But did that preclude Patrick from throwing to him again? Did that take away was there any dynamic on the sideline that said Andy Reid and Matt Nagy were not going to throw him back in the game? No. DeAndre Hopkins, a couple of miscues at the end of the game when he was supposed to run a quicker slant on an RPO and a crucial third down conversion, and it, two balls that almost got intercepted. Did that stop him from going back to him? Like, these are components that are, yeah, the numbers speak well for DeAndre. The numbers speak well for Patrick in a game where he didn't throw an interception and had the proficiency that he had. But I'm speaking to a whole higher level, Barbershop, with regards to being a former receiver and recognizing how cool it is when you have a quarterback that can look past your mistakes and miscues and still, for the betterment of the team, put you in a position of success. That's what we have here, and that's what's to me, that's the coolest component of this wide receiving crew.
Well, I know Gold got some questions for you, but you're definitely talking to a higher level of something when you talk about preclude and dynamic and proficiency. Gold. I mean, bro, where are we at? Who are you talking to? Are you about to take an ACT or something? What's going on?
Gold, you can obviously tell that they didn't have these kind of classes at the University of Richmond. They didn't have these type of classes like they had at the University of Iowa. We're knowing that now.
I'm glad you mentioned that line there, because a little bit later this hour, we're going to play the audio of Jamar Chase talking about not studying in school, and I wanted to get Barber's perspective on. And so we'll talk. Don't worry, we'll talk about Richmond and that education at some point later this hour. But he's right. I did want to ask you about the receivers some more. I'm glad you brought up Xavier Worthy, because I think he's been facing a little bit of criticism. You acknowledge that he needed to know where he was on the field better on that particular sequence with Patrick Mahomes. But I think at times people are forgetting that when Rashee Rice ended up with nearly 1,000 yards last year, a lot of that came on the back half of the season as he continued to get more comfortable in this offense. Right now, yeah, the numbers aren't great for Worthy, but 8 games in, Rashee Rice had 26 catches, 358 yards, and 3 touchdowns. 8 games in, I'm sorry, Worthy has 19 catches, 272, and 5 touchdowns. So it's not like it's not even that far off of each other.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely a growth process. I think in the day and age that we are in, we want success yesterday. We want everything to be polished and professional and the best version of whatever we're talking about yesterday. We wanted to already be at the Hall of Fame top 5 level, like we expected or we hope it to be down the road. And you can go throughout the league and see whatever position: pass rusher, offensive lineman, wide receivers, running backs, heck, the quarterbacks especially, that they're just not as polished. And guess what? They're not supposed to be. There's supposed to be a significant difference between college football and the pros. And I don't care if you went to Texas, you went to Alabama, Georgia, or wherever, there's a difference between the game at the college level and some of the things you can get away with, some of the attention to detail that you have to sharpen to get to the professional level. And that's what you're seeing. It's part of the maturation process. And one of the cool things about it is everything that we've seen from him is correctable. It's correctable. Like being in a position where when Cam Taylor-Britt made that incredible interception when we played the Bengals, like a coaching point for Xavier Worthy is become a defensive back. If you can't get the ball, make sure that the defense doesn't get the ball. Be more physical in moving yourself away from the sidelines when a defensive back is trying to push you to the sideline to make it a more difficult throw and difficult catch. In that circumstance, make sure you know that you don't get squeezed to the sideline because the sideline, as you know, Barbershop, is the 12th defensive man. Every defensive back knows that if I can get the receiver to get as close to the sideline or out of bounds, that's less that I have to deal with him and somebody else I have to deal with. So you know what they're trying to accomplish, and part of growing in the NFL and not being the finished product is all these little nuances that'll make him a better receiver, just like you mentioned Rashee Rice. He wasn't the great receiver in the first 6-7 games of the season last year, but after that, then that's when things became real and the game started to slow down and you started to trust your instincts more than maybe having your head full of information. And that's the transition that we expect with Xavier Worthy.
Well, the one thing we definitely know, but just go back to Monday Night Football, the Buccaneers came with a game plan of definitely pressuring the A-gaps with Vita Vea. He was a one-man wrecking crew, and I know, and we talk about how great our interior is. I mean, he's a natural disaster coming in those A-gaps. And then playing the back end to take away all the deep passes. So, I mean, whether we connected on that deep ball or not, I think the purpose of it was to show that we have the ability to attack the deep end,
yep,
to keep those safeties nice and deep. And when you can run the ball in the interior, threaten the defensive back end, it creates this soft underbelly of a pass between 10 and 20 yards that we constantly went to over and over again, whether it was Kelsey, Watson, whoever it was wide open in those different passes. And I think that's something that is so effective going forward. People are worried about, you know, what's happening with this offense and red zone. I say, man, listen, if you can attack a defense in all the different ways that we did on Monday night, there's going to be more than 30 points available for you no matter who you play against, because it's such a yep, variation of ways we're attacking. So I love to see the game planning from Matt Nagy and Andy Reid continuously evolve and develop and create yep, new plays. And listen, I know I'm a defensive guy, but I like the creativity. I like the jet sweeps and the yep, all the fancy stuff, because it keeps the defense on its toes and it doesn't allow you just to think you're going to take away Travis Kelce and focus on the running game and get after Patrick Mahomes. No, you got to be ready for just about anything at any point on the field, and I think that's what's make this offense really unique.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I totally believe that, to me, you should take one deep shot a quarter.
Yeah.
Like, on an average. Take one deep shot a quarter, whether you connect or not, for the sole purpose of keeping the defense honest. You know, from a linebacker position especially, if you get a linebacker looking side to side, that's when you're able to get something over the top of their heads. And that's what you see when you have the fake jet sweeps, when you have the shifts and motions, when you have the reverses. Hey, sometimes my father used to say, some things that make you laugh and make you cry. Some of the great things that happen, there are going to be times where we're going to scratch our heads and wonder what the heck we're doing. But more times than not, we're going to be smiling and high-fiving because it's working. The offense, I think, is still a work in progress. It was great to see that they were able to be proficient on the biggest stage, mm-hmm, against a team that was reeling. And now we got the same circumstance coming in this week with the Broncos. This is a divisional opponent. It's a rival. It's a team that's playing, even though they had a big drop against the Ravens, they're still playing solid football. And they do have some confidence against us. Like, whether we like it or not, whether it's justified or not, there is definitely some confidence that we've, even though we've beaten them, 16 straight times or what have you, we lost to them last year, and it was pretty embarrassing back in October. So, you know, we're not looking past them. We also recognize that Sean Payton, with, you know, with the decisions he's made in the quarterback position and some of the play, the play and the play calling that they've had, not that he's on the hot seat, but this would be a huge boost of confidence for their organization and for him if they're able to come in here and beat us.
Talking to Dana Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you'll hear him Sunday afternoon and also pregame coverage beginning at 9 o'clock right here as the Chiefs get set to take on the Broncos. Plus, we'll ask him about players only in a second. There was a stat that stunned me when it came to Bo Nix, and that was that he has 33 plays of 20-plus yards this season. The only player with more is Lamar Jackson. I did not think Bo Nix would be right there in that category with Lamar. What have you seen as you get set for this game and studying it a little bit from the Broncos offense and how they're having any bit of success with Bo Nix and that wide receiver room?
Yeah, you know what? It's been pretty impressive to see that a team that was reeling as much as they did last year and had the question marks coming into the season are still playing solid football. I mean, they're a winning football team right now, 5-4, and Bo Nix has looked solid. For a rookie quarterback to come in and play the way he's played, you know how demanding Sean Payton can be. We've heard about, you know, some of the butting of heads between he and Russell Wilson and how Russell Wilson was jettisoned out of town, and the fact that this kid has come in and garnered the confidence that he's gotten from his team and the way he's able to perform on the field. Yeah, it's not perfect. I'm sure he's got a lot of snaps he'd love to have back, but you can see something brewing in him, the way he uses his legs, his decision-making, and, as you mentioned, with the yards gained and the big plays that he's had, you can tell that he's not just going to be a check-down Charlie guy. He's not trying to be out there just to be in the safe mode so that he doesn't draw the ire of Sean Payton. Heck, earlier this season, he got into a back and forth and screaming match in the face of Sean Payton. I don't know if I've ever seen that from a rookie quarterback. So that tells you about his moxie. It tells you about his expectations of himself. And it tells you something about what could be brewing down the road in regards to success on the field. But, you know, they are a force, and their defense is dominant. Their special teams is strong. This by no way is going to be a pushover game.
What do you got planned tonight before we let you go? Players only back tonight?
Players only. Because Barbershop is in the booth with you, he is not allowed to be in the booth on two consecutive shows in the day. That is definitely against the security policy at Odyssey. So he will not be there. I will be there, and we will have some fun. We'll get the callers involved in the hot fire Spitfire takes. I'll talk about the Buccaneers and what this upcoming game against the Broncos will present. We'll have some fun as always.
Danan Hughes, he joins us each and every Thursday. He's got players only tonight, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. And of course, again, Sunday, along with Dan Israel, Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler on the call, Chiefs and Broncos. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, especially since you had to deal with Barber.
Hey, make sure you check your wallet before you leave.
There you go. That's Danan Hughes.
Oh, my goodness.
He was ready for you.
Bro.
He was ready for you today. And Danan's conversations with us are presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue.
Now, I'm a guy who's, you know, I know why Danan doesn't like to, like, go back and forth with me, because I'm a guy who's, like, I hold you accountable. You know, I got my notebook. I write notes.
He does. Always has the notes.
Now, you help me out with this definition. The word consecutive. If I was to be on consecutive shows from now until
I got you.
Players only, that would mean I would be on the midday show and the drive and then
I knew what
on.
He meant, though. Mm. I knew what he meant. You knew what he meant.
We got listeners out here, bro. Like, we got to be. you can't just throw words out there because they sound that. See, in Iowa, at University of Iowa, when he was a Hawkeye, he got away with that. He could just write anything down on his essays, the papers, turn them in, and it was like, oh, well, that's Danan's paper. Let's slap a C on it and get him to the next class. He needs the credit to graduate. Let's give him an 85% because he needs it to go play on Saturday. Mm. No, not here, man.
Back to what we were talking about, actually, what Golden and I were talking about. I know we're going to get into that in a moment. When I called Danan, I was like, hey, Cody's not in today. Barber's sitting in. He goes, Sean Barber? I was like, yeah, Barbershop. He goes, oh, no.
Up next, I do want to give Barber the opportunity to call out each and every person at this station that owes outstanding bets. He's been texting us in the group chats. Let's just get it out there. We're going to do that. I want to ask Sean Barber as well about what Ja'Marr Chase had to say going back to the college days. That's next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hanging out here on a Thursday, it's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you, Sean Barber hanging out as well, former Chiefs linebacker. He's with me till 1 o'clock, kind enough to come in studio. Thanks again to Dane and Hughes as well. And his players only show coming up tonight, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Do want to pass along some news out of Chiefs practice. We were discussing during What's Trending the injury situation. As expected, Juju Smith-Schuster and Turk Warden did not, or won't, I should say, won't practice. The practice hasn't concluded yet. Will not practice for the Chiefs today. That's from Matt McMullen over at Arrowhead. So Juju, it's a Thursday, no practice. He's not playing on Sunday. So hopefully he's good to go. They did not put him on IR a couple weeks ago. So it tells me they're just keep hopefully getting that hamstring right for the Bills game. Turk Warden, unfortunately, that knee contusion, bad enough, it looks like, at this point to keep him out. But they do get Mike Dana back and Ozzie Johnson once again at practice today. But that's the latest on where things are standing injury-wise for the Chiefs and the Broncos on Sunday. Here in 25 minutes, Paul Charchi and our regular conversation with him about fantasy football heading into tonight's game, who to start, who not to, and where's he at with DeAndre Hopkins? Is he a must start on Sunday against the Broncos fantasy football wise? That's some of the things we'll discuss with Charch in a little bit. But as I said, Sean Barber's been hanging out with me for the last, I don't know, almost an hour now. At this point, you came in a little early. Appreciate that. I said I would give you the floor for a few minutes to lay out the outstanding bets you have with personnel at this station, because we have a group chat and at times you'll just randomly bring it up. And so I know one of them is our producer. I have one that was an off-air bet with you for lunch, but that one's a much more recent one. I want you to go through, starting with the most outstanding one, the longest, if that makes sense, the one that's been outstanding the longest.
I think, and I don't know the date that this bet was created or what happened, but I think this was a playoff bet from last season.
Okay, wow, last January, almost a year.
And it's owed to me by somebody called the Crown Jewel. I don't know. I don't know if he still goes by this.
I don't know. So you're talking about Dusty. Dusty.
Listen, for the sake of the innocent, I will not name any names.
Okay,
but I know he goes by the name Crown Jewel,
and he hosts mornings with Fesco.
Yes, he does host the morning show. So, but I'm not gonna go by his government name. But the Crown Jewel made a bet with me, and the bet, the payoff was a bottle of Blanton's.
Okay. All right.
That's not just a six pack of beer. No, it's not a case of beer. I mean, that's
what was the bet? Do you remember? You said it was on a Chiefs game.
I thought it was something about playoff. Oh man! After so many months, you kind of lose the. I don't forget what he owes me. I just forgot why he owes it to me. And so he's confirmed it multiple times on our group thread. Like, hey, Barbara.
Is that all I have to keep saying? I just have to confirm it, and when I can just keep it going for a while? Well, I'll confirm the bet. I mean, I'm paying it. Just keep confirming it.
Whenever on our group thread, at the end of his statement, you see a little horse, that's him just acknowledging to me without acknowledging the rest of y'all, hey, Barbara, I still owe you a Blanton's.
Okay.
For those that knows about Blanton's,
that's the logo or whatever it is.
It has a little horse on top. The plug on top is collectibles. So, yeah, that nice bottle of Holiday Blanton's from about a year ago is owed to me by the Crown Jewel. Mm-hmm. There's a producer here who's a big Bengals fan. I'm not naming no names.
But, I wonder who that could be.
There was a Bengals bet that happened. The Chiefs versus Bengals. I put up a nice a phenomenal hat. It had the goat on it. Mm-hmm. He offered actually to get a tattoo of my number on his body, and my wife kind of intervened and Barbie,
you let
having another man with your jersey. We just. you know.
Your wife saved Drew on this.
And I appreciate it. I mean, she's a lovely lady. Maybe you should get her some flowers at some point since she saved you, Drew.
You want me to add on? Add on to this gift card?
He just said a producer. Yeah.
Yeah, I said, man, no names. We saved the innocent. To protect the innocent, we name no names. But that gift card needs to be of the value of $59.59. Not just any old gift card, $59.59 to the Harvest Kitchen, which is on 119. If you haven't been there, it's an all-vegan restaurant. I've gone there about three or four times since then, and I could have used $59.59 to help me bring that price tag down a little bit. But that's the second bet is owed by the station. So it's amazing being part of the fan and having these, all these IOUs because, you know, your dad is, growing up, what did your dad tell you? As long as someone owes you, you'll never be broke. So the last thing I got to worry about is being broke because all you jokers owe me so many bets from over the years. And last but not least, Gold has already admitted him and I got a Goldie in his crew. Goldie and Associates is what I call it. The Golden Associates bets was we played a game and I don't know the
it's an app. Yeah, it's a fantasy app basically.
It's a fantasy app where you can pick whether, the winner or loser is going to make a field goal, not.
Will the winning team have more passing yards? That kind of stuff. And so we did this, and it was like there were seven or eight of us, and you ended up winning, and the losers had to buy you lunch.
If you look up the app, it's called Stats Draft.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, we was out at a Holiday Distillery, and we were just going through it, and it was during one of the Chiefs away games.
Chiefs Chargers game.
Chiefs Chargers. Oh, you remember exactly when it was.
Of course, yeah.
Isn't that funny how the people that owes, they always remember exactly how it is? I mean, I'm owed by so many people. I just kind of like, hey, it's going to come when it's come, right? And so he owes me lunch or dinner, either lunch at Red Door Grill or dinner at Capitol Grill. Either one.
We didn't talk about Capitol Grill.
Well,
I'll tell
you're splitting
that.
The bill between the other three of you who lost to me.
I don't think we said Capitol Grill.
Either way, you're going to come out your pockets about $50.
Mm-hmm.
So I can overindulge at Red Door Grill, or I can have an average. They have a great Wagyu and wine promotion right now that's for $39. Capitol Grill, you get a glass of wine with a nice Wagyu burger for $39 and fries. You can't beat that, bro.
Okay.
So
all right,
you can
just go there. Sounds like you go there a lot.
I mean. that's my ritual when the Chiefs win on Tuesday. I have a Wagyu and wine.
Okay.
We want to keep winning, right?
That's right.
So
that's exactly right. Real quick before I play some audio from Jamar Chase, do you buy into this idea of trap games? Because it drives me crazy. No. The reason why it gets brought up, they're playing the Broncos on Sunday, then the Bills are on the horizon. One, it's a divisional game, so I definitely don't think the Chiefs are overlooking the Broncos. But I think it's a lazy way to explain why a team might have struggled against an opponent we view as worse. It's hard to win. It's hard to win. And so you as a player, I was curious to get your mindset on that. I don't believe the trap game stuff really exists.
I think offensively, you got to decide who you are and what you're going to do with the season. You can either come into a season realizing, hey, we're a power running game. We don't have good receivers. Our tight ends might develop. And then you can try to choose to just stick with that in hopes that it gets you through the 17 weeks. And then somehow you're still going to be able to do those same things during the playoffs and win. Or you can decide that the NFL is the best of the best. The defensive coordinators in the NFL are very good. Whatever you choose to do to begin the season, if it's successful, the coordinators will watch enough film and come up with creative ways to stop it. And that's just the nature of the beast. That's the evolution of the NFL. There's never going to be a team that starts out winning one way and able to do that over and over and over again throughout the entire season without anybody putting up roadblocks to keep them from doing that. You got to find a different way to beat us. You're not going to use Kelce and give him 15 targets and 2 touchdowns. You're not going to be able to use D-Hop. You're not going to be able to use it's going to be something they take away and make you beat them a different way. So I say that to say that when you map out your season and you want to challenge your guys to do the best, to be the best, to me, if a defense has porous corners, they have safeties that can't guard the tight end. Well, that's not the game for me to work on my tight end. Like I want to wait against But the Baltimore game, when they got Hamilton, right? They got Smith. Yep. They got guys that can, they're going to, you know, punch your tight end a little bit, beat them up down the field. That's the time to work on your tight end game, because when it comes to the playoffs, that's the kind of coverage you're going to receive. And so, like, you got to look at the schedule and say, all right, I want to put my best against their best. I want to work on some things as the season go along. And if we win the game, we win it. But we're trying to always put ourselves in position to, yes, be the number one seed and have the bye. But what you really want to look at is your own internal growth as a team. And on defense, you're doing just the same thing on the opposite way. You want to be able to stop the run, affect the passing game, whether it's having corners play really sticky man coverage against top-end receivers, or being really, you know, disguises on the back and being able to bring zone pressures, tricking offensive coordinators, tricking and making the quarterback hesitate. There's so many different – I mean, people want to act like it's a game of chess, and it's not checkers and not chess. It's a whole – I mean, it's so many different dimensions to this thing. And I think because the Chiefs keep winning, everybody, like you're saying, they want to create this narrative where the Chiefs have the Bills circled. Like, that game matters so much more than the Denver Broncos. We know Andy Reid puts a premium on divisional
games.
Absolutely. So you can't ever go into a divisional game thinking that's a trap game when you're talking about the Chiefs.
I agree.
So, I mean, I just think you have to look at the organization. You got to look at the team, how they're made up. And, no, there's – For where this team is trying to go to, I mean, unfortunately, there is no.
They're too well coached and run in the process that they have to for me to see that with this team in particular too. You know, we were talking earlier. Maybe in college it happens because you got a 19-year-old kid that his girlfriend broke up with him the night before the game all that. But that's not even a trap game. That's just. You know,
that's just
life.
Sometimes life be lifey.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Jamar Chase. I'm glad. Danan Hughes and you were going back and forth about the Iowa education and Richmond education, because Jamar Chase was talking about studying the playbook. Here's the sequence. He was asked by a member of the media, basically, like, how do you prepare on a short week? Listen to his answer.
Short week, Jamar, the preparation obviously gets crunched down by a lot. Does it feel to you like cramming for a test back in school? Like, what's a short week?
I didn't study in school. But it's a lot, you know, but you just gotta stay focused, you know what I'm saying? You just gotta really lock in right now. So, I mean, we get a little break time before we start, Friday, you know what I'm saying? Friday's practice. So, we just gotta stay locked in when we on the field and just pay attention, but when we get the break time, then we can do whatever.
Short week for them. Baltimore, Cincinnati tonight, Thursday Night Football. I'll ask you, this is to get your perspective. I said, look, I'm not surprised by that answer. If you're that, he knew it was me a top five pick in the draft. So if you're in that spot, you know, you got that career ahead of you. That's your career. What do you make of that comment though? Did you study at Richmond, Sean Barber? Did you know you were going to the NFL?
No, man. You know, I studied, man. I'm a student of the game. It wasn't about the opponent. It wasn't about what was coming next. It wasn't about the NFL, the combine. I was taught to always try your best, man. Always put something on the field every day as part of your resume in life, beyond the football field, beyond the classroom, relation, whatever it is that you care about. Put your mark on it and. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing and doing it to the best of your abilities. So I've kind of carried that through everything I've done in life. So, I mean, I understand what he was saying. Because, I mean, when you go to LSU, if you go back to that roster, they were a semi-pro team.
Loaded.
Clyde Allaire was the running back, right? They had Jefferson, him.
Burrow.
Marshall.
Terrence Marshall, Burrow. Yeah, I mean,
stacked.
Three linemen went to the NFL.
It's the reason why they won the national title.
I mean.
Patrick Queen was there.
Again, so yes, they probably didn't do much studying the opponent because they knew if they executed the way they could, there was no answers on the other squad. Like, there's no defense to stop that. That's an all-man team.
How about going to class?
I took that as he just meant he didn't study in school, as in he wasn't.
See that? No,
I don't think
man.
He was. I don't think he was studying.
No.
Oh,
I ain't put no words in nobody's mouth.
You think he's talking about studying the playbook?
I'm talking about football.
Oh.
He's he's in a locker room. Y'all talking about studying film.
He's the one that said he didn't study in college.
Wait, I think he was talking about film.
Okay.
I'm gonna protect my homie.
Okay. I have no problem with it, Barbara, because he knows that. Like Shedeur Sanders in Colorado, there was audio that came out this week. You know what I'm talking about? Where they were talking about registering for classes in the spring.
He's like,
yeah. Which again, he's not alone on that. He knows that once the season's over, that last bowl game, he's going to Arizona to some rehab, you know, training facility, getting ready for the combine.
Yes.
That's not unique, but that's no different than what this is. I view it as some players know, not if they're, and this is no disrespect, but like if you're at a smaller school or in your situation that you brought up, like you obviously had to take care of your academics too, because you don't know what the next path is going to look like. Jamar Chase, like he knew he was a top 10 pick.
I mean, again, like I'm like education is really high on my priority list. Both my parents are school teachers and stuff. So I don't think that I would go into a classroom or any kind of learning environment with the disrespect of like, I'm already out of here. Mm-hmm. Like teach or not teach. I'm not turning in any more work because like in my next 2-3 months, I'm going to the pros. Cause that's to me disrespectful of the work that person put in to prepare for that day's mm-hmm. class. So, again, I hold education and teachers in a very sacred place in my heart. So
yeah.
That's just not how I treat people. That's not how, you know, when I come on your show, right, I don't come unprepared. I come
He's got a whole notebook.
I come with my notebook of stats. Yes, I will not be doing the drive. So I will not be doing consecutive shows to end up on Players Only tonight with Danan. So his definition of consecutive and mine might be slightly different. And maybe that Iowa education, maybe if he did finish his classes at school, he would understand the difference
Iowa
in the definition.
Iowa education is not as good as a Richmond consecutive, education.
Right? That means... consecutive. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't miss something and be consecutive, but yeah.
Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
All right, Drew. We'll leave this one up to you today, and also the text line 913-586-7965. What do you got for us?
That's right. So we're getting into the time of year where it's getting colder and everything, and I was thinking about this last night for the out of left field question, did not end up asking it on after hours.
Okay.
But what is your go-to fall drink, food? It's getting colder. Is it soup? Is it a good potato soup? Is it a coffee? Anything from Starbucks? Like, what is your go-to meal, if you will, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely not a daily thing or anything, but definitely this time of the year, like, it's chili season, man. Get some chili, you know, whether it's homemade or at a restaurant. Chili season. This is like, you're not having chili, at least I'm not, in August, you know, when it's 95 degrees, but we're starting to get to that point. Yeah, I could go for a bowl of chili tonight. Absolutely.
First of all, like, I'm a fan of going to actually chili cook-offs.
Ooh, okay.
Every January.
Are you a judge in these?
Well, I attend Church of the Harvest out in Olathe, and we have a January men's kickoff chili cook-off every year. I have never won yet. I do bring in chili from restaurants. So Red Door Grill has always brung. There's a guy at my church, Pastor Lester. He wins it every year.
This must be some good stuff.
Multiple types of meat. It's spicy. It's some sweet heat. The cornbread he put, it's levels of goodness in his chili. And the fact that there are different restaurants each year I bring in, and I still can't win. I've started to like pull my name out because I'm tired of losing to him. So I just kind of I acknowledge that my chili is coming from a restaurant. So it's not, you know, you can't vote on me even though.
Yeah, the funny story I have with that along those same lines. When I was doing radio in Topeka, my co-host at the time, we had a work chili cook-off, like a contest, and he brought in a bowl. They didn't know it at the time, a bowl from Wendy's. And Wendy's chili is underrated for a fast food place. You know what? It's not bad at all.
I ain't going to lie.
He brought in a bowl of it and he won.
Oh my goodness.
He told us months later. But it was from Wendy's.
Months?
Yeah.
See, I can't ride.
It won.
To me, a joke is like, I can't go to sleep. So if I tell you something and it's just a joke, then that means before I go to sleep at night, I got to call you and tell you, hey man, like, just so you know.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. If I wake up the next day and tell you, it's a lie. That's just a flat out lie. You just got character issues. I mean, your integrity is gone. So if you've told me something untruth, if there's an untruth that you told me, you got 24 hours. You got until midnight that day to tell me the truth, or in my book, you're going down as a liar.
What's your answer? I'll read some texts in a second, too.
So I feel like potatoes, a nice warm potato
soup.
Baked potato soup is bomb.
What?
I know what you're talking about. It's not bad. I just
mean,
okay.
You know, get some bread.
Someone
well with it.
Someone says Bailey's and Coffee's their go-to.
I've never been.
Perupski's. Yeah, so Perupski's is a restaurant or deli, whatever you want to call it. That's, I think it's still open in Topeka, known for their chili. I mean, it's okay. They only serve it a certain time of the year. It is incredible stuff. I think they're still open. It's down in a neighborhood there in Topeka called Perupski's. That's a good spot. Someone says, help me with this debate. Is chili a soup? Oh boy.
Oh Lord.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is on the surface without going too deep into that.
No.
What is the, I mean, if you use a spoon, it's a soup.
If you use a spoon, it's a soup?
Chili is more of a stew.
Yes.
Chili is more of a stew than a soup. That. Depends how you prepare it, too.
Whether it's meats, beans. Oh, does your chili always have beans in it?
Mine usually does.
Beans? Drew?
Yeah.
Here's what the Yahoo had an article on this. Is chili a super stew? They said chili is considered a separate type of dish, usually. Many different varieties falling under its umbrella. But technically, that's what they say, it's a stew. No matter what ingredients you include, you'll never see a recipe asking you to puree a chili like you often do with soup. There you go. Hope that settled it.
I shouldn't have asked this question because now I'm hungry.
Huh? In about an hour and 5 minutes, you'll be able to go and go and get whatever you want.
Look,
someone said Perupski's close. That's a bummer.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm not going to ride Gold's coattail with the chili. So I'll come out at the end of the day. Something that really speaks fall to me would be like a latte. So like a pumpkin spice latte, and that's just for this period between October.
You're a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, but between Halloween and Thanksgiving, like I get all the.
Isn't pumpkin season over already? It's past Halloween?
No. The time between Halloween and Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Between.
Mm-hmm. So these next 3 weeks right here.
That's my pumpkin spice. So,
okay.
All right.
So I don't do it before. I'm not doing it before Halloween.
Isn't it? So when do you transition like more peppermint stuff?
After Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I mean, I'm very like to like I don't understand the debate about putting up lights, any of that stuff. Like
how early do you put your lights up?
After Thanksgiving. Like, it's
yeah,
next.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, how am I putting up Christmas lights before Thanksgiving? Like,
I agree.
That's like ignoring the fact that Thanksgiving's on the way.
Thanksgiving. It's always skipped over too much. Yeah.
I'm a thankful person. I mean, maybe it's because I have an attitude of gratitude. You like
Sean
that?
Sean Barber.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Sean Barber.
Woo, Thanksgiving.
Appreciate you coming in, man.
It's a late
notice. Really appreciate it. Good to have you, and that was fun. Sean Barber, good stuff. Oh, so Friday night, right? You're going to be up in St. Joe, is that right?
I mean, people hear the commercials. They know. Come have some wings.
Well, it's on
wings.
The station. Promote it, man.
Come have some wings and an ice cold Bud Light at the BW3s out there in St. Joe. But if you actually, I mean, one of the watch parties, I definitely want to promote a watch party. I mentioned I go to Church of the Harvest. We're having a watch party on November 17th, the Bills game.
Okay.
Church of the Harvest out in Olathe.
There you go. 155th
and Black Bob.
Sean Barber, former Chiefs linebacker, listen to his show Friday night, fan football show up in St. Joe at B-Dubs. Up next, fantasy football talk with Paul Charchin of GuillotineLeagues.com. Who to start? And I want to also give you an update on where the Royals could have their games next season. Not on the radio. You know where that's at, right here on 96.5 The Fan. But what about on television? We'll try to fill you in on that next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.